This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
There's a new era in global competition, and it's about to supersede the old model of international business. Fast disappearing are the days of globalization. In its place, a new and more challenging reality, globality. Competing with everyone from everywhere for everything. Co-author Jim Hemmerling joins us live from Germany. You're in Germany, actually. Is that right, Jim?
I am today, actually. I'm here for a press conference to release the book in Germany.
Fantastic. Jim Hemmerling is a San Francisco-based senior partner of the Boston Consulting Group, co-leader of its Global Advantage Initiative, and a core member of its strategy and operations practices. And until recently, he was managing director of BCG Greater China, based out of Shanghai. So, Jim, tell us, we're past globalization now, globality. What does that mean?
Well, globalization, of course, is what we're very familiar with. Over the past 20 to 30 years, has been characterized by the expansion into foreign markets by large corporations really based in the West, Western Europe, the United States, and then later Japan. And those companies moved out into the rest of the world. But in the model of globalization, the competitors, the companies from the other countries, really played a minor role. In globality, what we have is the rise of a new set of competitors rising up from China, India, Russia, Central Eastern Europe, Mexico, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, the Middle East now. So across the world, a whole new set of companies rising up, challenging the Western companies. So now, business is no longer globalization flowing in one direction, but it's really flowing in every direction at the same time.
The new book is Globality, Competing with Everyone from Everywhere for Everything. Co-author Jim Hemmerling is my guest live from Germany. So let's talk about what I found most interesting in your book is when you talk about what these new companies from these other countries are doing that we're not. And it goes well beyond thinking outside the box. They're just doing business completely differently, and we're not. And that's to our detriment.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, this rise of these companies or this new wave, we talk about in the book is it being a tsunami. And then we say, you know, it's not just another wave, it's a tsunami. Why is that? Well, part of it is the country of origins that these competitors come from. These are huge countries, which enables them to get to scale before they have to globalize. They also have access to these huge pools of low-cost labor and, in many cases, low-cost resources. But the home country is only part of it. They also have what we call unprecedented global access to markets, to resources, to ideas, to customers, all enabled by technology and trade-friendly policies. So if you think about the IT firms, the business process offshoring firms in India, like Infosys, Tata Consultancy Services, Wipro, they have access to all the markets in the world without ever actually leaving India. And then the third reason why this is a tsunami is what we call insatiable hunger. These folks are incredibly hungry. They work hard. They're not thinking about knocking off for golf on a Friday afternoon. They are there to work. And so there's this incredible hunger to feed a lot of people, but also to be recognized as world leaders. And what's interesting is many of them have become not just leaders in their home countries, but leaders globally. So a company like BYD out of China, number one battery maker, Nemak out of Mexico, the number one aluminum castings, engine castings maker, Embraer out of Brazil, the number one regional jet manufacturer. So in some ways, you know, they're not just challengers. These companies have actually already become world leaders.
Jim Hemmerling is a senior partner with the Boston Consulting Group and co-leader of its Global Advantage Initiative. He is a co-author of the new book, Globality, Competing with Everyone from Everywhere for Everything. It's what comes after globalization. So what is it then that you're telling American companies, you know, 1, 2, 3, this is what you need to do, and you need to do it yesterday?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, we talk about the seven struggles of globality, which sort of sounds a bit funny. Most business books have, you know, a checklist, key success factors, do these things and then move on. But we deliberately chose the word struggles because we actually believe that over the next couple of decades, these things are really going to be struggles for the new challengers, but also for companies based in the States or in Europe. The first is what we call minding the cost gap. Many of these challengers have a significant cost advantage. Part of it's due to labor, but there's a fantastic company that makes small electric motors. There's 53 of these little motors in a typical car that move the seats, the mirrors, and so on. This company, Johnson Electric, they produce 3 million motors a day in their facility in what's called Johnson City in southern China. So they have this labor advantage, huge scale, plus they're located in a cluster of suppliers, electronic suppliers in the south of China. Well, that combination gives them this tremendous cost advantage in China. So the first challenge for Western companies, somehow you've got to get the cost down so that the gap is not too great. A second challenge or a struggle is what we call growing people. Much of the growth in the future is going to be in these economies, China, India, and so on. So you've got to have people to be able to do that. Typically, many Western companies still rely on poaching or stealing from other companies in order to grow. But the challengers have figured out there's no way you can poach enough people. And so what they're doing is investing much more in developing relationships with universities and huge training facilities. So this company, Wipro, which is an IT services company, they train 5,000 people every day. And they're able to thereby grow 35% a year, and now they've got 60,000 employees. So growing people is another challenge, another struggle. And there's seven of these struggles. You know, each one of them sort of builds on the next.
Jim, let me ask you, when you talk about bringing costs down, most Americans hear that as, oh, well, you know, Ross Perot warned us we were going to lose all our jobs and we've lost our manufacturing base. And, you know, once upon a time, the cheap labor may have been in Southside Virginia and Danville, and now it's in China. And we've seen a lot of those manufacturing jobs just evaporate from our economy and go elsewhere. What do you see moving forward now, looking out 10, 20 years? Those jobs aren't coming back, are they?
Well, some of the jobs that are gone, they are gone. I mean, of course, it is dynamic. So even now, we're seeing with the rise of oil, that makes it more expensive to ship products. So at the margin, you know, some products that you could send overseas now are less cost-effective doing it there. But it's not quite as simple as just, you know, all the jobs are going to go. The fourth struggle we talk about is something called pinpointing. Pinpointing is locating in the world the step of the value chain or the part of the business where it's most advantaged to do that. So there's a great company in India called Bharat Forge that makes forgings, you know, axles, crankshafts, things like that used in trucks and cars. Well, yes, they do a lot of manufacturing in India. That's where they started. But they have also acquired facilities around the world, and they haven't shut those down. But what they've done is they've optimized what manufacturing should take place in India as well as what should take place in the U.S., in Germany, in Japan. And they also do a lot of product development and research and development in the advanced economy still, because they know that customers want to deal with people that are still, you know, close by to them. So when you look at their global footprint, it's not moving everything to India. It's just having a globally advantaged footprint that we call pinpointing.
Jim Hemmerling was most recently the managing director of BCG Greater China in Shanghai. He is now based out of San Francisco with the Boston Consulting Group. He joins us live from Germany, where he is launching the German release of the new book, Globality, competing with everyone from everywhere for everything. Let me ask you this, Jim, because most Americans are sort of on the sidelines when it comes to this stuff. But when it comes to, you know, our 401ks, most of us have that money in big American companies and then maybe a little bit in emerging markets. Should we be moving all this over into emerging markets?
Well, I would say be very cautious about that. If you've been following the Shanghai Stock Exchange, you'll see that it's dropped in about half the value that it was. So, you know, there is a very speculative nature to many of the offshore markets. So, you know, you really have to be careful about just sending your investment dollars overseas. However, what I would say is there are a set of fundamentals, these things we're talking about, getting your cost position right, making sure you've got the people you need, pinpointing and other things. So what I would say is look for the companies, you know, be they American companies or German companies, that understand this new global reality and are appropriately changing their strategy and their organization and their operations so that they are aligned with globality. A company that's done this very well is, a typical classic Midwest company called Emerson Electric, based in St. Louis. You know, they started seeing competition from Brazil, going back some 20 years ago, where this Brazilian company was selling below their variable cost. So they knew they wouldn't just be able to compete with their existing cost structure. So they began to look for opportunities in Central Eastern Europe, in Asia, in South America, to globalize their manufacturing footprint. As a result of that, they've been able to keep and grow jobs in the U.S. while developing a globally advantaged business. So I would say look for companies that are making the right moves.
It's encouraging to hear that there are American companies that get it and are willing to adapt. Gary is on the line with a question in Albemarle County. Gary, you're on with author Jim Hemmerling. Go right ahead.
Thanks a lot, Coy. A fascinating topic and a great guest. Very quickly, would he talk to us a little bit about, based on what he's seeing around the world, what would he tell Americans they should be teaching their kids in school? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Great question. If business is changing so drastically, should education change as well?
Well, that's a great question. I have four sons myself, Nicholas, Christian, Mitchell, and Alexander, and we spent 7 years in China, and the boys, we made a decision while we were there to enroll them in a school that had a pretty strong Mandarin program. And now that they're back, we've kept that up. So not everyone can send their kids off to China for 7 years. I appreciate that. But I think, you know, learning languages is certainly a great thing to do. I think having an awareness of different economies around the world, different cultures, because chances are if you have a career in business or even in education, chances are you'll be not just working in the States, but potentially in other countries as well. I think that, you know, there is this core need to have more engineering and science-oriented instruction. It was Jeff Immelt of GE who talked about how, you know, we're falling behind in that area, and that is true relative to the number of engineering graduates coming up in these rapidly developing economies. So those would be a few tips I would have for what we should study, our kids should study.
Yeah, we're importing our scientists. It's just amazing. Jim Hemmerling is the co-author of Globality, Competing with Everyone from Everywhere for Everything. Jim, last question. I'll just ask you real quick here. What is it that we need to be keeping in mind? I mean, if there's one takeaway thought you want to leave with people.
Well, I really believe that it's important for people to understand that we are in this new era. I mean, we've called it globality. Other people will call it other things. But it's no longer this sort of business as usual where we should expect that the Western companies will dominate global business. This is a new reality where it's really business flowing in every direction. And as the subtitle of the book says, it's competing with everyone from everywhere for everything. And the everything, we should expect to see ongoing upward pressure on, you know, the price of oil, of natural resources, iron ore to feed China's steel mills and build cars there, even food and fertilizer. And so we should expect that there's going to be ongoing competition for, you know, as we say, for everything. So I guess the key message is we are in a new era, and make sure that we don't put our heads in the sand, but we really face up and take the steps we need to be competitive.
Jim Hemmerling is a senior partner with the Boston Consulting Group based out of San Francisco. He has joined us live from Germany, where he is launching the German release of Globality, competing with everyone from everywhere for everything. Jim, thank you so much. Fascinating book and incredibly timely. It's a really important book.
Thanks so much.